On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Remember me? How long has it been? However long it's been. Okay? And FYI, I'm not on vacation anymore. Okay? I am back. And a lot of people are not going to know this because they're not listening to this. Okay? And they're not seeing it on the Facebook, apparently. So I missed out on the St. Paddy's Day Parade in Southie. But that's okay, because it was really a cold day, cold and windy, and you know what? I'll just go when it's warmer. And will that ever happen in March? I don't know. March is kind of a funky month. We talked about this before. It's kind of yucky. And then when we get a 50-degree day, it's awesome. You get a 50-degree day in the summer and you're thinking, what the heck? This is not cool. Or it is cool. It's way too cool. And that brings me to another point I was going to make. And that is, when I was on vacation in a warmer climate, you have the AC on. You have air conditioning on. So therefore, the houses feel cool, okay? You come back up north, and if the houses feel the same coolness, you better turn that heat on. Now tell me, what sense does that make, okay? What I did notice, though, is being my first extended winter away, I got used to the AC. I didn't get used to it. I was cold. But the point is, when I came back, the cold wasn't as bad in the house. If it was cold, I'm thinking, well, that's just like AC. It's fine. I'm more used to it, and I didn't need to crank the heat like I've had to. Okay, so there's something there. I mean, I'm not the first person to make this observation, obviously. When it's warmer in the summertime, we turn on AC and make it colder. But yet that same cold in the winter is not appreciated, so we turn the heat on. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure this out after many decades, and I don't think it's going to happen. But I did get a little more insight into it spending a winter away and coming back when it was still winter. And it still technically is. Even though it's spring now, spring has sprung, so to speak, it wasn't that horrible a winter. And it's going to get better. And why am I talking about the weather? Let's not do that. You know how I feel. That's pedestrian. Not going to do that right now.
And what else? Okay. I went to a wonderful celebration of life. Courtland Mathers, Judge Mathers, passed away, age 92. He was very, well known in Brockton. Wonderful guy. Six children, many grandchildren, great-grandchildren, just a really nice all-around person. Just because you're a lawyer or a judge, you shouldn't judge people. You see what I did? Well, anyway, what a wonderful celebration and great speeches. Today was his celebration of life at the Fuller Craft Museum, which I was lucky enough to go to, attend, and it was wonderful. Very moving. I didn't realize he liked to fish so much, but everyone knew he was a big fisherman. And that's cool. I mean, hey, I fish. I used to fish. I haven't fished in over 10 years, but I could do it again. I just catch largemouth bass. That's about all. Could get some big lunkers. Anyway, so yeah, he lived a good long life and did a lot of good things and left a lot of positive influences behind. So that's how I would hope to live my life. I know there's no way I could live up to that legacy. It's so awesome. If I make it to 92, it's never too late, right? But I just feel like he did so much good, and how could I do that much good? Really. I mean, these silly podcasts, what's that? One thing that did strike me, many things struck me during the day, but that was said was what was the one thing that he felt was his greatest accomplishment in life was his children. And that's how I feel. My kids are also, that's what I would say, no doubt. So that was moving. It was really touching. And, I did like the part where they said he started out as a Republican, sort of a Republican, but became liberal Democrat near the end, which was good. And a social justice warrior, really stood up for things and injustices. And he could do that because he was a judge, too. It makes me feel like I could relate to a lot of those things that he would do. He spoke out against for stop and frisk in Boston, against the Boston Police Department. I mean, way before it was popular to do so now, and things are written about it. I learned a lot today. I mean, I hung on every word that was said because it was so important and said with such love and care and thought. It was just great. I wish they could have videotaped it somehow, because it would be great to just keep that moment of the whole event. It was wonderful. And I grew up in the neighborhood with the Mathers, and to see Chucky there was great. He did a wonderful job speaking and introducing all the other speakers and family members and so forth. Anyway, I don't want to dwell too long on that, but it was a wonderful day, and, you know, rest in peace to a really, really great guy. At my funeral, it wasn't even a funeral today, but it was a celebration. I will probably have a lousy funeral. Cortland, they said, joked that his would probably be held in a phone booth. That's how many people would care. It was quite the opposite. But I started thinking, I've been thinking for a while, if you go to my wake when you're there, I mean, you only speak well of the dead, probably. But let's just, you know, suspend reality for a minute in my case, okay? If you were to interview, or survey, rather, half the people there at my wake, they would tell you, and quite honestly, from their hearts, that I was the nicest person, just wonderful, sweet, generous, caring, thoughtful, funny, good things, in other words, okay? Good things. Nice person. Nice. They never saw that other side, okay? You survey the other half, they would say, wow, just, you know, biting sarcasm, nasty, mean streak, rude, obnoxious, arrogant, all the bad, anyway, bad things, okay? So it would be right cut down the middle, because the people that see the good in me only see that. I don't want them to see the bad. If they do, it's probably very rare and not that often. And the other people, they get a lot of the wrath. So it's, again, but the thing is, my point being, you will never convince one half that the other, you'll to see their point of view. You just wouldn't. The people that think I'm nice wouldn't believe the others. And the people that think I'm not nice would never believe the others, probably. And you know what? This is not the first time I've thought of that. This notion has been in my mind for many years, many, many years. And it only gets stronger with time. Will it change? And I can sway the percentage to more people thinking I'm nice? It's possible. If not, hey, it makes life interesting, huh? Well, let's put all these people together in one room and see what happens. I want to ask a question. What kind of men wear silk robes? I mean, seriously, isn't that like a thing of the past? Is it like a smoking jacket? Are they Republicans? I'm pretty sure I don't want to know them. All right, so I got this really weird spam email today. So something's going around. I got two, okay? They're, again, with these financial things, which I know is nothing new, okay? But this one was very new. This is a new twist, okay? It's so bizarre. It came from Mrs. Melania Trump. Right. Okay, well, You know, she has a check for me for $2 million. She's been trying to get to me. So I'm freaking out. It's Mr. via Mr. Bloomberg. I think they meant to write Bloomberg, but they didn't have an L. So it's just Mr. Bloomberg. So be on the lookout for these, okay? They're probably going to hit your spam folder. It hit my spam folder. No harm, no foul. It doesn't get through the filter. But I just thought that it's so, I mean, who's falling for this? Really? Mrs. Melania Trump talking about her honorable husband and some kind of money. $2 million. They, you know, go big or go home. I give you that, phishing spammers with the weird return email address with .i6 or something. It's not even a thing. It's not even a .com. I mean, how are we, you know, people have to be really, really stupid. I just think it's a good thing that elderly people are not on the internet. I mean, this is a great case to keep them off. Not that they use it. My parents don't know anything about the internet. They know that it's a thing. And my dad used to say, you know, can you, when you dial up something on the internet, he doesn't know. He needs someone to help him check email. He doesn't know how to do that. Okay. So this is another great reason to keep old people off computers, because they're going to fall for this nonsense. As soon as they know how to get into email and they don't know about spam, listen, man, they would have been all over this Trump thing thinking, okay, that's where the money is. Oh, they want me to have the money. Oh, Donald Trump, he's trying to, okay, he's giving me, oh, Milan, oh, thank you. What do I sign up for? Oh, well, they just want your name, your mailing address. They didn't want anything too sensitive like credit cards or social security numbers yet. But as long as they've got your name, address, info, yeah, just please reply to this with all your just, you know, your contact info. And that'll be great. And then we'll get that money right to you. Yeah. Okay. They're not going to give me 2 cents. Never mind $2 million. But what they will get, if they get enough people to reply, is valid info, valid data. You know what? Metadata, or they're mining for data, whatever you call that, data mining. Yeah, yeah. They get paid money for each bit of information they get. So you know what? Someone's getting money. It's not you or me. But you know what? And hey, whatever. Enough of this.
He likes to butt things with his head.
How proud you must be.
What a great quote. Was it worth waiting for? Was it worth waiting for? But you thought I went away, didn't you? Well, there was a little delay, okay? I haven't got this whole audio thing perfected yet. It's only been a year. Give me more time. How many Tory shows have I done? Ooh, I don't know. Not quite a year yet, but we're getting there. We're getting there. There's been 100 ECAT shows of the Ron Van Dam radio show, EastonCat.org, okay? And you can see those on the internet. You can also see them if you live in the town of Easton right on your television set at various times. I don't know, the schedule, again, is listed online, so if you would care to watch them from Easton. Otherwise, you know what? Hey, man, get one of those Fire Sticks that Amazon sells. Fire Sticks. That's how you get, like, free internet programs or something. I don't know. I know someone that watches Vikings for free because they have a Fire Stick. And I don't have one, but apparently you can get like Netflix, or I don't know really. Maybe it's not Netflix, but it's some kind of free cable stuff that you can't normally get. And they're like $50. Anyway, my point being is just hook up maybe HDMI cords to your laptop, or use a Bluetooth to your smart TV and just siphon it over there. If you have to watch like programs on your little handheld, that's a bummer. I mean, maybe if you had like really good eyeglasses, it would be okay. Or if you had a really big screen, like a Kindle type size screen or an iPad maybe. But you know what? On a phone, what are you doing? That's, you know what, your eyes are going to go eventually. It's probably putting a strain on them. And how much fun could it be? I mean, live a little. Get a laptop. Watch a big screen. But anyway, I digress again. ECAT, EastonCAT.org. You can see our shows. They're only 30 minutes, okay? And they have cool graphics. Ron was doing a bunch of shows without me because I wasn't in the area. Now I'm back in the area, back in business, and did a show last week wearing my St. Patrick's Day outfit, which was fun. It had weird antennas. I actually ventured out into the world that day. People said, wow, you got a lot of guts to wear that out. I do. But they said, good for you. That's right. You know, give me credit. Give credit where credit is due. I am not a shy person. Got that? Good. Okay, it's Tori's pet peeve. Tori's got a pet peeve. I always have a pet peeve. Every week, I only have one. Only one thing bothers me a week. Isn't that awesome? How great is that? Oh, one small, tiny problem in my life every week. Yeah, except that these are the ongoing things that happen every single day, okay? And once a week, I tell you about one of them. Yeah, anyway. This week, yeah, I know you're dying to know. Dying to know, dying to know. What's it now? What's wrong with Tori now? What's going on? What's the matter with her? What's the matter for you, hey? What's the matter for me? This is it, okay? Cereal boxes. I'm sorry. Indoor voices. Cereal boxes, okay. Do you or do you not open the bag a little bit or the whole thing? Okay, now, I used to feel one way about it. And now I'm feeling a different way about it. Okay? Follow me. Just listen. Listen to me. Some people open the little corner of it just enough that the cereal comes out one side. They think it's neat. I guess it used to be for me. You know what? Now it's a hassle. What if I am holding the box the wrong way? And now I have to either turn it around or fiddle around with it. And, oh, you know what? I have a new position on cereal box packaging. I want you to just rip the whole thing open. Open. I want it open. Both sides, all the way. I don't care how I'm picking up the box. I want convenience, okay? So if I see your bag only partway open, I probably will leave it because it's your bag. But you know what? If I am in your cereal long enough, like visiting you for an extended period of time, it's getting ripped open probably. It's probably gonna. Just live with it. Deal with it. I'm a house guest. The guest is always right, right? Another thing about cereal bags in the box is just roll them down, man. How hard is that? You know what? You don't need a clip on there. You're making my life harder than it needs to be. I don't want a clip. I don't want any kind of clip on top of the rolling down of the bag. I don't care that it stays fresher. How long you plan on keeping this cereal? A year? No. Okay? We're not doing that. Okay? We're just not. All right, I was watching the movie Hurt Locker. I've seen it before. It's a great movie. Kathryn Bigelow, whatever. I was watching it with my son, though. Okay, and my son served two tours overseas in Iraq and also in Afghanistan. And he really likes this movie. This is one of his favorite movies. I asked him if the first time he watched it, or when he watched it anyway, I said, do you feel like when you see it, do you feel like you get nervous, like you're back there, it captures the feeling? And he said that, yes, the first time he saw it, definitely. It was very tense, and you know, now he knows what's going to happen. Of course, you expect that. But he did mention during the part we were watching, that it was an interesting interaction of a man standing on top of a car with his pistol pointed at the driver, ordering the driver to get out or whatever he was doing. And my son told me that the people over there are actually more afraid of pistols than rifles, okay? So if you have a pistol, they're really going to pay attention to you. And he told me that the reason for that is that the executions by Saddam were always with high-ranking officials that have pistols, okay? So pistols, they're very afraid of. So rifles, not so much, because everybody can have the rifles or the, you know, semi-automatics or whatever. But a pistol, that will get their attention. And I thought that was a very interesting footnote. So it's always good to watch these movies if you can with a vet, a veteran, because you're going to get their point of view if they've served time overseas. It'll be very interesting. Just like if you're going to watch a movie maybe about Vietnam War, Platoon, I don't know, I'm trying to think of some good examples. Apocalypse Now is one of my favorites. Heart of Darkness, no, Joseph Conrad. But wouldn't it be cool to watch it with getting the perspective and the input of someone that was actually over there? So now we're talking about, you know, Desert Storm and Gulf War and things like that. The veterans nowadays will give you input if you can see one of the, you know, like, what's that waterboarding movie? The Hours movie with Jessica. Oh, I don't know. You know what I mean. Anyway, these movies that are done recently, you know, hey, check one out with a friend or a, you know, relative that's been there. And just to see if they're down for watching it and they won't get all, you know, PTSD. That could happen too, I imagine. Vietnam, yeah, that's got to be, if you can remember that far back, what went on, you know, in the jungles. But, you know, there's some pretty decent movies about it. I don't know if we're done making Vietnam movies. They seem to keep doing a lot of World War II movies. Don't we have Hacksaw Ridge? I mean, that just came out, Mel Gibson. And I don't think that's Vietnam. So, I mean, I think World War II, they really, you know, Private Ryan, they're really doing that to death. I guess it's, you know, it's good to be up on that, World War II, I suppose. It's probably been done a lot. And I think the Vietnam War was a little more exciting, but there's more controversy with it. So maybe they're not tackling it as often. You know, there aren't that many, other than Tropic Thunder, which was, you know, come on. It was kind of funny, though. You know, I think, is it Smiling Jack? I keep calling him Smiling Jack. I watched Tropic Thunder last month, and I can't, who was the character played by Ben Stiller? It wasn't Smiling Jack. These are the things I think about, okay? I know you're saying, you're yelling at the podcast, whatever, right now, what it is, and it's not Smiling Jack. Is it? No. Is it Happy Jack? Happy Jack, Apple Jacks, I don't know. We are Siamese, if you please. We are Siamese, if you don't please. Now we're looking over our new domicile. If we like, we stay for maybe quite a while. Do you hear what I hear? A baby cry? Where we finding baby, there's milk nearby. And if we look in baby buggy, there could be plenty of milk for you and also some for me. That song, oh my God, Lady and the Tramp, was one of the creepiest Disney songs I ever heard as a child. And let me just say, I didn't see the movie till much later. I only heard the recording. I think my parents had a Disney record, or somehow I could only listen to the record. So imagine I'm not knowing these are cats singing. I don't know. It's just some weird Siamese something that's looking for a crying baby. And I don't know what's going to happen. Are they going to go attack the baby? I don't even know. I don't know. I know it traumatized me, even singing that now. You know what made me think of it? I could hear my grandson crying far off. And it's like, oh, do I hear a baby cry? And then I went, oh, that song. And there it was, stuck in my head, and gave it to you, and you're welcome. I'm your baby. It's never too soon. Oh, I love that. I love that. That's going to be my favorite Casey and the Sunshine Band song. Oh, and you know what? It goes back to, well, I mean, it's the 70s, obviously, but they used it in a movie with Bill Paxton, God rest his soul. called The Last Supper. And it was a really freaky movie, and I liked it. It was very dark. It was very political, which is probably why I liked it. And they were a bunch of, I think, liberal people, as I recall. I haven't seen it in a long, long time, over 10 years. Sitting, and they'd invite one person over to dinner and try to pick their brain about their views. And I think they were always, you know, weird Republicans that are, you know, anti-abortion, or I mean, not saying that was what they were, but they had something about being racist or some flaw, character flaw, and so they'd poison them and kill them and bury them or something like that. I mean, that was the whole thing over and over and over. And isn't that weird? I wonder if that really happens. Of course, it doesn't happen. But anyway, so that's my little Casey and the Sunshine Band song story. But that's not where I was going with that, actually. I was going to mention, when people come back from prison, they're ex-cons, there's something that they call them. I just found out, you know, I never thought about this before, but they call them returning citizens. So when you hear the word returning citizen, the words, the phrase returning citizens, they're not people that have been overseas on holiday wintering in Vienna. Okay. They're ex-cons, and I did not know that. So apparently there is a politically correct term for everything. I mean, I'm going to say garbage man until I die. I am not going to say sanitation worker or engineer. What, I don't know. An engineer has like a degree, and I respect them and all this other stuff. I mean, waste management, I don't know. It's a garbage man. It's a trash collector. It's a garbage man. I love saying that because, again, that's my childhood. Don't take that away from me. Okay? I had this conversation on Facebook, I think recently, about blinkers. They're blinkers on your car. It's a blinky thing. Blinkers. I'm not going to call it a turn signal. Okay? It's your turn signal. And then, it's funny, my friend Amanda said, and what about an indicator? Yeah, indicator. It's like I'm on the Starship Enterprise. No, I'm not doing that either. I'm not. It's a blinker. It just is. And you know what? About that, use them. Can you just use them, please? It's the most ignorant thing when people don't use them. I mean, if you're by yourself on the road, no one's around in front of you, behind you, I get it. Maybe you should anyway out of habit. But you know what? If you don't, who's going to know? A tree falls in the forest? Who knows? I don't know. Does it make a sound? Yeah. It doesn't make a noise, though. It makes a sound, but not a noise. Now, look that up. I think I'm right about this. Okay. But anyway, use your directionals, blinkers, whatever it is. Can you just use it, please? There's nothing worse than I'm about to take a right turn, and I got to wait because there's... No. What is it? I'm about to take a left turn. I'm about to take a left turn at the end of a street, and I have to wait for these oncoming cars to go by because I don't hit them. But boy, is it infuriating when they turn right in front of me without using their signal thing. I'll give them a little thumbs up. You know, good job. Because as I mentioned a long time ago, long, long ago on these podcasts, maybe even on the radio, but definitely on the podcast, I don't give people the finger when I'm in the car because that's so cliche. It's overdone. It's rude. It's aggravating. No, here's your little secret. Here's a secret. You give them a thumbs up. Like, good job. Good job. I like to nod my head and sort of mouth the words. Good job. With my thumb up right by my face. Can you see me? Can you picture it? You know, when like some people sit through, I'm like trying to get through the green light. And they're sitting there waiting. All these cars to come by. They can't make their turn. They can't do anything. They feel trapped. I don't know what to do. I'm afraid to move forward even an inch. I don't know. So meanwhile, the light turns yellow up and then it's red. And we're both stuck at the light. So I, in the rearview mirror, I know they're looking and I'm, good job. And these are the things that make me. And these are the things that at my funeral, people are going to take umbrage with. This is what I observed very recently. Wintergreen, Altoids, tastes like minty vomit. Yes, do not want. And that's going to wrap us up for another week of Tori. Yes, I'm in a rare mood, rare, feisty, snarky kind of mood. Yeah, it's like that. I'd like to do more shows on snarky. See what I can arrange. I don't know how to do it. It just sort of happens. I don't know why. But we'll figure it out together. I guess. I don't know. Maybe I need to drink more. I didn't even drink, though. I don't know what it's about. I don't know. I'm talking too much. But I guess that's what this show is about. Okay, anyway. So stay tuned this Friday because I'll be back with Ron again. And we'll talk about some stuff. I have to ask him. Here's a preview of what we're going to talk about. I'm going to ask him why people call their sons Buddy. I heard it on the plane. Is his name Buddy or is it just his buddy? Is there a real Buddy? Are they naming them their sons Buddy or is it just an expression? But if it's an expression, why does everyone do it? And do fathers get confused when there's two buddies? And then two fathers and two sons? Buddy, which one are you talking to? My son, your son? I don't know. I want to know. All right. Peace. It's gone dead.